Good morning. I hate when Pastor Jim does that because then it makes I have to perform. I have to do something maybe that I'm not able to do. Hey, it's great to see you this morning, and it's great to be back with you. I just came back from a vacation in Cabo, Mexico, which was wonderful with my family, and we got back midweek, and it was a great time there, but I am enjoying being back. And this morning, I was sitting on my front porch at, I guess it was 7 a.m., and it was 65 degrees. Compare that to the 90s in Cabo, and I was really enjoying the beautiful weather here. 6 years ago, we prayed as a church about something. Felicity O'Brien told us about her friend whose husband was kidnapped in South Africa by Al-Qaeda. And it's been a regular prayer request of mine for all these years. And she contacted me this week, Felicity, and said, Thursday, he was released. This is the CNN ad. Because we prayed about this as a congregation, you may not remember it, you may not have been in the church at that time, but we want to honor the Lord and say thank you for bringing him home. Here's the word that he is healthy, that he is strong, his mind is active and alert. But we know when you've been kidnapped for 6 years by a terrorist organization, there's going to be a lot of healing that needs to take place. And we just want to lift that family up, but thank the Lord for his release back home. So let's pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing Stephen McGowan home, to allowing him to be with his wife, his father, his family again. Lord, we know that these 6 years feel like they are just lost out of his life. But as you say in the scripture, that the Lord will redeem the years that the locusts have eaten, we know that you can turn even the darkest moments in our life into glorious ones. We remember the words of Joseph, who in Genesis 50 said to his brothers, "What you did, you meant for evil, but God meant it for good and the saving of thousands." You redeem even the worst things in our life. And so, Father, we pray that you will use this healing time to bring Stephen to a new place in his own world, draw him to yourself, and we pray that in the end, he will be a living testimony of your mercy. We thank you for answering this prayer. We give you our praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I would love you now to open your Bibles as we continue into the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, as we look at verse 26 and following. We are beginning a brand new message series today called Divine Interruptions. We are looking at those moments where God comes into our life and changes things around, brings about something brand new that perhaps we have never considered before. And we're going to find this all over the book of Acts. So what we want to see today in specific is the interaction of the Holy Spirit in our lives and how we can become sensitive to the moving and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So let's look at our passage. And if you're using one of our Bibles, you'll find this on page 1199 and any of the Bibles located around the room. Again, Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 26, we read this. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Klandake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting on his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you're reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is a great passage. I mean, I love this passage. I mean, it has all kinds of interesting elements. I like to see, even as a Star Trek buff, it's like Philip is beamed out of there at the end. You know, it's like, cool, what's going on here? All these kinds of things happening. But what this really gives you and I is a glimpse of the power of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer, and to help you and I anticipate what we can expect as a follower of Jesus Christ. Do not think for a moment that what we are reading in this passage is something that happened only in the Old Testament times. No, this is something that can happen in your life now, and to anticipate what God is doing. Scholars call this book the Acts of the Apostles, but many have argued that maybe the best name of this book would be the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Because ultimately, this book is a journey and the story of the power of the Holy Spirit alive in the body of Christ. So let's break down some of the things we heard. First of all, we are introduced to an Ethiopian. So he's traveling to Jerusalem, and now he's coming back from Jerusalem. Why is that? It's because he's a worshiper of God. He's not Jewish, but he's come to the conclusion that this God, the God of the Hebrews, is God. And he wants to worship him. But he himself can never become a Jew. Why is that? Well, you might have noticed in the text, he is a eunuch. What does a eunuch mean? The fact that it mentions it five times means that this is not just a title, a position, but that he probably experienced castration, because at some time in his career, he was placed in charge of a harem. And because of that, he had to go through the physical ritual of change to become in that position. But now he's worked his way up, and he's a treasurer to Klandike. Now, Klandike is a title, sometimes translated Candace, but it's like calling somebody Pharaoh. And so he is a high government official looking from the outside in on Jewish religion, the God of the Hebrews, coming to the conclusion that this religion is the true religion, and that he wants to be a follower. Now, it could slip by you, but he has a scroll that he is reading. He's reading from the scroll of Isaiah. Now, in a day and age where everybody has multiple copies of the Bible, we don't think much of him, the fact that he's reading from a scroll, the scroll of Isaiah, because we have Bibles everywhere. We have paper Bibles. We have digital Bibles. But at that day and age, a community would be blessed if their synagogue had a complete set of the Hebrew scriptures called the Tanakh. They would be thrilled. But for an individual to own a scroll, that would be very rare, only for the very rich. Probably when he was in Jerusalem, he bought this scroll to the prophet Isaiah. So if you were buying one book in the Bible, and you had only the resources or only access to buy one book, what book would you buy? Now, in this case, he bought the book, the scroll of Isaiah. Now, it's intriguing on multiple levels, but the one that I think is the probable reason is because Isaiah is the only prophet that prophesies in Isaiah 56 that one day when the new kingdom comes, the eunuchs will be allowed to worship in the house of the Lord. And I could picture this Ethiopian eunuch who loved the God of the Hebrews, saw that this prophecy was something that connected deep within him, that day was coming. And for our point of interest, could today be that day in his life? Because that seems what's about to happen. So here's what I want to do. I want to look at this passage, first of all, from God's perspective. What is God doing? What is he orchestrating to bring these two people together? And secondly, I want to look from our perspective, how do we become a people sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit in our life? Because this is what I'm feeling, is that most of us in this room are probably not as sensitive as we should be to the power and moving of the Holy Spirit. In many ways, we're deaf. We don't perceive what the Spirit is saying. But if we take note from Philip, we will learn a lot as to how to be Spirit-empowered Christians, living Christian life to the fullest. So here's the first thing that I have noticed from God's perspective looking at this passage. It is this, that God arranged this appointment. God arranged it completely. Here's what we read in verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, this must have been a very strange encounter. Now, Luke does not clarify what was this angelic visit like. Now, here's what we know from Scripture. The book of Hebrews says that angels visit us, but most of the time, we do not know that they were an angel. They are an angel, and we are unaware. It could have been that kind of encounter. In that case, it would have been a person that came up to Philip and says to him, the Lord says to you, Philip, you need to head on this desert road and go towards Gaza. Now, that would have come across very strange to Philip. Why? Is because Philip is experiencing incredible revival in Samaria. He was one of the six people picked, by the way, in Acts 6, to be a deacon in the church, to care for the widows. But he also has the gift of evangelism. And when he went to Samaria, God is opening doors. People are getting healed. Amazing things are happening. And then this person comes up to them, this angelic being, and says, leave all this hot, great stuff and go down a desert road. No reason why, just go. Philip was probably scratching his head. But you know what? He's come along in his life journey with God long enough to assess, if God is moving me in this direction, something interesting is going to happen. So let's take that chance. And Philip begins that journey. Now, getting back to our relation to this, you may think, I never had an angel speak to me. I don't know if you have or not. But you may have people come into your life that you do not know that move you in a direction that God wants you to go. All I'm saying is be open to the possibility that God may be speaking through that stranger. So Philip goes. Here's the next thing I observe from this God perspective is that God timed the arrival. Look at verse 27. So he started out, and on his way in the middle of this desert road, he meets an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. So on his journey, he meets somebody on this desert road. What are the odds? Well, in God's divine timing, in God's divine purpose, this was that moment. Hey, a little trivia question for you. Which two extremely famous people met each other on July 6, 1957? Two extremely famous people who would go on to make a great career together met each other July 6, 1957, 60 years ago this past July. Anyone, any buff people here? Paul McCartney and John Lennon. Two teenagers. Now, I wouldn't call necessarily it was a divine moment, but it was a moment that history remembers. And I was listening on 1010 Winds News on July 6th, and they said, this day in history, Paul McCartney, I think he was 15 at the time, met John Lennon, who was like 17 at the time. And, of course, the rest is history. I'll give you another one, see how good you are. In 1979, on December 26, at approximately 10 a.m., two amazing people met each other. My wife, Michelle. I saw one smile in the room. I knew it. And I love to say we met at a truck stop on the New York State Thruway. We were both heading to a Youth for Christ retreat. And that is where I met. At the time, I didn't perceive her as my wife-to-be, but to be. But at this moment, in this divine appointment, this Ethiopian eunuch does not know Philip whatsoever, meets Philip. Why did God arrange this? One, God loved this Ethiopian eunuch, and he wanted him to meet Jesus. Two, God loves the Ethiopian people and was sending this eunuch now to be a missionary for the Ethiopian people. This was a divinely orchestrated moment. God's perspective, he's weaving something beautiful together. The next thing I notice in this passage is that God ended the meeting. How did he end it? Well, verse 39, this is when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but when he went on his way rejoicing. We don't know exactly what that looked like. My Star Trek sensitivities likes to make it that he was beamed out to a new area. But the bottom line is God opened this door and he closed this door because this Ethiopian was now on his way rejoicing because he discovered who the Messiah is and his life was coming together, and history tells us he became an evangelist in Ethiopia. What a beautiful story. But now I want to get to the nuts and bolts as to how you and I respond to the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your life. So let's look at it now from our perspective. And here's the first thing that I notice. It's this. Be attentive to the Holy Spirit. Be attentive to the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 29. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Now that's kind of an intimate conversation where the Lord is telling him that specific of an instruction. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you were to rate yourself, how attentive are you to the Spirit of God? One being you're like a stone, 10 being you are as soft and pliable as anything. Where would you put yourself? Do you think you're pretty attentive to the Spirit, or maybe not so much? The first thing that I notice for being attentive to the Holy Spirit is that you need to be listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying. And here's what I've discovered. If you are so caught up in life with all the busyness of life and your phone and your media and your favorite friends and conversations where you never have any quiet moment in your life to receive something that the Spirit of God may be saying to you, something is awry, something is off, and you're not going to be hearing from the Holy Spirit. But if you would crave to hear from the Holy Spirit, you know what you need in your life? You need times of silence. In truth, you need some time away from your phone. You need some time away from media. When is that best for you? For some, it's the morning when the house is still quiet. This morning at 7 a.m., I went into the front of our house and I just sat on our porch and I just listened to the birds, enjoyed the 65-degree coolness in the air, and I allowed myself to just be still before God. For some of you, it may be the evening. You know, another great time for me is when I jog. When I jog, it's when I feel the Spirit of God speak to me. I've told you before, but Pastor Jerry, when he senses that I'm getting closer to the stone part of my sensitivity, he says, "Did you stop jogging?" Because he knows the Lord speaks to me when I'm running. Here's the question. Can you point to a time in your life, in your daily activity, where you are open to hear from the Spirit of God? Because if you can't, that's a problem. Philip is tuned in to what the Lord is saying to him. So should we be. Here's the next thing I notice. Philip listens, and on this desert road, it says here, he's willing to do what the Lord takes. So this is what Philip does, verse 30. He runs up to the chariot. Now, he is willing to do what it takes. Now, think this through for a moment. You're on a road with no people. It's a desert road. There is a chariot going by, and the chariot goes by Philip. He's just walking along the side of the road. Now that the chariot has gone by, Philip, obeying the Spirit, is jogging alongside the chariot. Now, if you are in the chariot, are you like, who is this weird guy jogging alongside me on this desert road? You know, there's all kinds of cultural sensitivities that we have to deal with. The fact that people are different. Do you notice that? Some people are kissers. And you know what? They like to kiss. There's someone in this room even now who periodically kisses me on the lips. And I'm like, oh, I'm not used to that. It's a guy. And it makes me a little, you know, feel a little less comfortable. And then others, you know, they're like to short circuit it, stick out their hand, you know, nice to meet you, because don't give me any too intimate. I find cultural sensitivities differ all over. So my oldest daughter, she is now a public school teacher in Las Vegas. And this week, she's been going through all her preliminary training. Now, picture this in a New York teacher's training assembly. This is what she was told. By the way, they're having the training in a casino. So if that tells you something right there, the training for the teachers at the casino. This is what the straight-faced lecturer told all the teachers. By the way, if you have a second career as a stripper, we encourage you not to tell your students. Now, how many New York teachers have to have that instruction from the administration? You know, you can have the second career, but just don't tell your students where you're doing your thing. And my daughter is like, I never would have thought that this was on the list of agenda that I have to be paying attention to as a teacher. But God may move you past a cultural barrier that takes a little risk, that is a little scary. Philip says, yes, I'll do it. He's jogging along the chariot. But that doesn't end there. This is what's so cool in this passage. God arranged this meeting. He arranged them to meet. But now it requires Philip's sensitivity. So he does what the Spirit says, goes up to the chariot, then he listens. And this is what we read. Verse 30. And he heard the man reading the Isaiah the prophet. Now this is so cool. I mean, Philip's jogging along, he hears Isaiah the prophet being read and knows this is a moment. Now it's all Philip. Spirit did his thing. The Spirit just shoot him up there. Go, Philip. Now Philip's doing his thing of recognizing, oh, this is a door. In fact, it's not just Isaiah the prophet. This is Isaiah the prophet talking about the Messiah to come, Jesus, the suffering one, who was wounded for our transgressions, who was bruised for our iniquities. What a grand passage. But then the next step, here's where I have to take a note from Philip. Instead of just pontificating on all his wisdom about the prophet Isaiah, Philip asks a question instead. Man, I need to do that more. Instead of just saying what I think, here's what Philip says, verse 30. Do you understand what you are reading? Do you understand what you are reading? Great question. And an opportunity now for the Ethiopian eunuch to respond. And we come to that next element here, which is this. Be prepared to talk about Jesus. Be prepared to talk about Jesus. Verse 35. Then beginning with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Now, this may surprise you, but you can talk about Jesus from any passage in the Bible. This is what Jesus says of himself in the book of Hebrews. Of the volume of the book, it is about me. Of the volume of the book, it is about me. So whether you are in 1 Chronicles with all the genealogies, or whether you're looking at the kings of Israel, or whether you're looking at the patriarchs, or whether you're looking at the book of Judges, you will find types of Christ, examples of Christ, prophecies of Christ. And all Philip is doing now is using the door that the Lord gave him for an opportunity to minister. And then what happens after this is there is an invitation. Now, in this particular case, this is so cool, and I love when this happens. Philip doesn't even have to do the inviting. It's the Ethiopian eunuch. Look at this. Verse 38. And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. The eunuch says, look, there's water. Now, this can slip by you, but this is a moment in history. It's a very powerful moment. You see, baptism, first of all, is a rite of initiation. It is a rite of welcoming in into the body. This Ethiopian eunuch sensed from Philip, sensed from the scriptures that they were reading, that there was a place in God's kingdom for eunuchs like him. Some argue that this is actually the fulfillment of Isaiah 56, that the day is coming when the eunuchs will be welcomed into the house of the Lord. And that when that Ethiopian eunuch saw that water, which, by the way, was a miracle in and of itself. In Israel, there is one regular water source that runs all the time, and that's the Jordan River. There is no other river that runs in Israel all the time. This was a dry riverbed called a wadi that, because of some kind of rainstorm or flood, had temporarily filled with water. Thus, the eunuch lights up and says, look, there's water, divine moment. And Philip knows this is it. And he crosses that line. I guess the eunuchs are now coming into the house of the Lord, and baptizes this man. Beautiful story. How does it apply to your life? It applies to your life in the most simple ways. Are you listening to the Spirit of God? Well, first, do you know what it means to have the Holy Spirit of God in your life in power? This is what the scripture teaches. Ephesians chapter 1. All Christians receive the Spirit when you become a Christian. The Apostle Paul uses the phrase, you are sealed in the Holy Spirit. But as you move on in that very same letter, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, Paul says this, keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. It is something we need to daily ask, Lord, today may I know the power of your Holy Spirit. And that very asking opens you to be listening. Then, if you've done that, you said, Lord, fill me today afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit. Now, do an audit of your life. Is there any time that the Lord can get through all the noise in your life? Is there any time where the TV is off, where the phone is turned off, where you are away from all the distractions, where you can hear what the Spirit is saying? And if you do, you know what's going to happen? You're going to hear the Spirit. He's going to speak to you. He's going to prompt you. How does the Spirit talk to you? Well, sometimes, like in our case, he might use an angel. That's probably the exception to the rule. More likely, he's going to use your daily spending time in God's Word. He's going to have something leap from the page that you need to hear for today. Other times, he's going to use a Christian person in your life, which is another great audit question. Are there Christian people in your life who can speak truth to you and speak in ways that inspire you to act in a way you should do your work for the Lord? Let me give you a quick example of something that happened to me just a few weeks ago. Somebody in our congregation, I believe, divinely led, called me up and said, Pastor Steve, you need to visit this person, please. They're in a very discouraged way right now. And I felt the Spirit of God say to me, Steve, you need to do this. Now, in God's divine appointment, I was not in a day that I wanted to do this. This was a Saturday, and I have this disease which generally does not bother me. I've been in remission since 2008. But every now and then it rears its ugly head. And this day it was rearing its ugly head. It's called Meniere's disease. And it sometimes makes me dizzy. Sometimes it's just like an uneasy feeling or a muddled mind. Anyway, I was feeling that uneasy feeling and a muddled mind. I'm like, this is not my ideal day, but I want to obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And so I got on my scooter, which is how I always visit hospitals, because I can park anywhere. And I get to the hospital, and I go inside, and then I said, Lord, I need your words, because I don't have good words. I don't have perfect words right now, and this person is discouraged and needs something to lift them. And so I go into the room, and I start speaking by faith. I'm trying to do exactly what Philip's doing. I'm now trying to respond to what the Spirit is going to give me, and I start speaking in a way that felt, as I'm doing it, anointed. I felt like the Spirit was with me. But then something else happened, negative. I had a vertigo attack while I'm in the hospital room. So the whole room is going like this. And when you have these attacks with this disease, it makes you get sweaty and you start getting nauseous because of the vertigo. But I said, Lord, if you want me here, you need to give me grace to make it through the rest of this meeting. And so I pressed on, ended with prayer, spent around 45 minutes with the person. And then when I left the room, I was so dizzy, I had to call my wife and say, I can't drive the motorcycle home. Could you pick me up? And she did. In the end, would that timing be my timing? No, it wouldn't be my timing. But did I feel that it was the time that the Lord wanted me to be there? Yeah, I did. And I felt that he was unfolding that the way it should be. I go to vacation after this. I come back from vacation. I get a phone call from the friend who felt prompted to call me. And he said, Steve, that person has told me several times now how meaningful that visit was when you were there. And I know the rest of the story. While I was sick, while I was inadequate to the task, but yet usable for God's purpose. I want to be a person who is sensitive to where the Lord is leading. What does he have in store? How can we go forward in what God wants to do in my life? But it's going to start with this, asking the Holy Spirit, be in my life in power today. And secondly, it's going to be allow the Spirit to have times in your life where you can hear, where the phone is turned off, where the TV is silenced, where you have an opportunity to respond. And you know what? This is why I love what the Holy Spirit does in a Christian's life. It means that life is an adventure. I don't know what's going to happen today. I don't know who he's going to bring me with, what conversations I'm going to have, but I do know this. I want to go where the Spirit moves me, and I want to be sensitive when he moves me there to say the things that he would have me say. And ultimately, I'll tell you this, the Spirit wants you to get to talking about Jesus, because Jesus is the chief subject matter of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said of it in John 16, that when the Spirit of truth comes, he's going to talk about me. And if you bring that conversation to Jesus, you will be in the sweet spot of what God wants to do in your life and in the life of the person that you are speaking to. Now, I want to close this with one small appeal. This passage ends with the eunuch saying, look, there's water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? Well, that's a great question. So let me ask you this question. Most of us in this room were probably baptized as a baby. Do you remember your baptism? Probably not. Because in our tradition, if we grew up in a Reformed tradition or a Catholic tradition, that's just when you were baptized. But let me give you some passages from the book of Acts, the very book that we're looking at. I'm just going to run through some. Here's Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The Apostle Peter is preaching and he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you. It's a command of Scripture. Same chapter. Those who accepted this message were baptized. Chapter 8, verse 12, just before our passage. And when they believed, they were baptized. Verse 13 of that same passage. Simon himself believed and was baptized. Acts 16. The Lord opened her heart to respond, and they were baptized. Acts 18, the Corinthians who heard him believed and were baptized. Now, you're visiting a Baptist church, okay? We dunk people here. We baptize people. But let me tell you this. The reason why we do it is because the only baptisms we see in Scripture are people who believed and were baptized. And while we respect the other traditions and their views, and we don't denigrate other churches, we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we do want to encourage you to avail yourself of the blessed opportunity to be baptized, because you chose that. I want to say with everyone else, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, I mention this in the context of this message because on August 20th, we have a beach baptism coming up at Tappan Beach at 6 p.m. If you ever want to feel a baptism experience, which is very similar to the New Testament kind, where there's a body of water and you go in and you are dunked in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, I just want to throw this out. If you're interested, if the Lord is saying to you, hey, be a public identifier of your relationship with me in the waters of baptism, I would encourage you. Just write to Pastor Jim, jim@shelterrockchurch.com, and he'll get you on that list, give you some preparation for it, and you can be baptized. Hey, I'm excited about this new message series because as we become sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, we will experience things we have never experienced before. Life is great being a Christian. And when you are attuned to the Spirit of God, it means that doors are going to open that you never even conceived of being possible. Doesn't mean that life is easy. No. You might find yourself jogging next to a chariot with somebody looking at you and saying, why are you jogging next to my chariot? You might find yourself on an airline and the Spirit prompting you to sit in a seat that you would not normally sit with. But you know what? If the Spirit of God is flowing in your life, we are on the adventure of a lifetime. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you that you have given us a chance to take a little journey with Philip and this Ethiopian eunuch. Lord, I am moved by this story for so many reasons. One is that you love this Ethiopian eunuch and that you in turn love the Ethiopian people. To take Philip out of that revival, place him on this desert road just so this man could meet a Savior whose name is Jesus Christ. Lord, as we look at our own life, you did that for us. You interceded. You brought a parent. You brought a friend. You brought a Christian television show. You brought something into our life because you loved us that much to open our hearts and minds to the possibility of what it might be like to be a follower of Jesus. But Lord, on that spectrum of 1 to 10, 1 being our heart is like a stone, 10 being we are sensitive to you, Lord, many of us are close to that 1. Lord, we need a sensitivity. We need to feel the prompting of your Spirit. In this holy moment, Father, would you hear our prayer? Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, I want to be like Philip. I want to go where you lead. I want to take chances for your name's sake and for your glory. Father, answer this prayer. And like your scripture says, if a son or daughter asks a father for a piece of bread, will the dad give him a scorpion? Of course not. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So Lord, we're asking, fill us now with your presence. Lead us where you would have us to go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.